Shambhavatamaham Sutra Vajrakacharya Ashtotra Satya Shri Srimad Advayam Vaisa Sivakta Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Goda Vaishnavinda Ki Iskan Founder Charles Advayam Vaisa Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He's going to lead the Sanskrit chanting and read the verse in purport. Yes. Yes, yes.
Thank you. Bhava, arms, Ahu, are called, Ushtava, the demigods, Karna, the ears, Dishava, the four directions, Shrota, the senses of hearing, Amusha, of the Lord, Shabda, sound, Nasatya, Rasa, the demigods known as Ashwini Kumars, Paramasya, of the Supreme, Nase, nostrils, Rahana, the sense of smell, Asya, of pain, Gandha, fragrance, Mukham, the mouth, Agni, fire, Igha,
blaze.
Translation of the question. His arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The 10 directional sides are his ears, and physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the 2 Ashwini Kumars, and material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. The description of the gigantic form of the personality of Godhead made in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is further explained here in Srimad Bhagavatam. The description in the Bhagavad Gita 11:30 runs as follows. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouth, covering all the universe with your effulgence, you are manifest with terrible scorching rays. In that way, Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study for the student of Bhagavad Gita. Both of them are the signs of Krishna, the absolute truth, and so they are interdependent. The conception of the Virat Purusha, or the gigantic form of the Supreme Lord, is said to include all the dominating demigods as well as the dominated living beings. Even in the minutest part of a living and living being is controlled by the empowered agency of the Lord. Since the demigods are included in the gigantic form of the Lord, worship of the Lord, whether in his gigantic material conception or in his eternal transcendental form as Lord Sri Krishna, also appeases the demigods and all the other parts and parcels as much as water the root of a tree distributes energy to all of the tree's other parts. Consequently, for a materialist also, worship of the universal gigantic form of the Lord leads him to the right path. One need not risk being misled by approaching many demigods for fulfillment of different desires. The real entity is the Lord himself, and all others are imaginary, for everything is included in him only.
Thank you, Madhavita. Om Agyanati Marandasya Nanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvi Namah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So in this verse and purport, Srila Prabhupada introduces a concept, an educational concept about how to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. And it can be summed up in one word, and that is systematic. The systematic approach. Actually, I was just hearing this morning, listening to a tape by Radhika Raman Prabhu. And he was talking about Jiva Goswami's Satsandagas. And he was making the point that this is the first, the Satsandagas are the first systematic presentation of the science of Godhead. You know, Satsandarbha's 6 parts, each dealing with different aspects. And to use Srila Prabhupada's words, all those aspects are interdependent. Interdependent. That's what a systematic approach exemplifies, that there's some interdependence, but both present the same truth. Prabhupada also makes this point in the purport that the passage in Bhagavad Gita describing the universal form that's quoted here, and what's quoted here in Srimad Bhagavatam, they're interdependent truths. But let's look at them for a minute, these interdependent truths. In Bhagavad Gita, when the universal form, particularly this verse describing the universal form, is presented, it's presented in a way which is very frightening. Prabhupada mentions the fire. The fire being is depicted as destroying everything. The gigantic mouths are open, and all the warriors are rushing in with their heads crushed between the teeth. So the fire described in universal form in Bhagavad Gita is the Lord's power of destruction. That's the purpose for which it's so shown. But if we look at today's verse, there's also mention of the blazing fire. But what is the purpose behind the description that we find in Srimad Bhagavatam as opposed to what we find in Bhagavad Gita? Who can say? What's the difference in this interdependent presentation? Well, yes. Yes. Well, the point I was looking at when I was reading this, in Bhagavad Gita is destroying, but here in Srimad Bhagavatam, we're getting a systematic presentation that's meant to encourage and facilitate understanding of the materialists. So it's a, rather than presenting a very terrifying form, rather we find a constructive presentation of this blazing fire. So same universal form, same fire, but one purpose is served by Bhagavad Gita, whereas another purpose is served by the description in Srimad Bhagavatam. So they can be systematic only if there's a presentation of how to understand these two different presentations. And that's what we find in the purport, where Prabhupada says, in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study for the student of Bhagavad Gita. Both of them are the science of Krishna, the absolute truth, and so they are interdependent. Prabhupada often repeats this idea about the Bhagavad Gita being the college entrance, Srimad Bhagavatam being the graduate, and Chaitanya Charitamrita being the postgraduate. That's not something that's out there in the world of Shastric study, that you can get your BA by studying Bhagavad Gita. No institution is giving that degree or offering an understanding of the Shastra in that way. But because the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, purpose of ISKCON is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values and to achieve We are unity and peace in the world. You'll recognize that as one of the original purposes of ISKCON, Prabhupada's purposes. So because it's necessary to have a systematic approach, therefore Prabhupada uses this template, let's call it a template, for understanding the science of God. Bhagavad Gita, he repeated so many times that Bhagavad Gita is the graduate study, is the sort of undergraduate study, followed by Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because this is so fundamental, I just want to make sure that we have all the concepts. What's the logic of these three divisions of Shastric study? Bhagavad Gita. Why is that the sort of, Prabhupada would say, ABCDs of spiritual life? Yes, let's stop there. Science of the soul. Anything else? It's bedrock understanding. Good. Five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita lead to the primary or fundamental understanding, and you can see how that's carried over to Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is Srimad Bhagavatam called the graduate study? Very good.
And explain in a more higher
form. What's an example? You mentioned time. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, time I am, destroy the world. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes time, the calculation of time from the atom. It's a higher study of the same subject matter. Sugita? This is the real point. This is the real elevation when we get to Krishna's pastimes. But how did Prabhupada tell us to systematically approach that subject even? Right. He wasn't just trying to hide the nectar from us or something like that. He was trying to show us that there's a systematic presentation of how you can understand. Read the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second canto, in order till you come to that point. Anything else that shows Srimad Bhagavatam? Of course, the point Mother Sukhita makes about Krishna's Leela, especially in the 10th canto and description. We don't find those descriptions. Same Krishna, but we don't find those as intimate dealings with loving exchange with Krishna found in Bhagavad Gita. So how are they an interrelated system of knowledge, graduate and postgraduate? Now, Chaitanya Charitamrita, why is that the postgraduate study? Again, we have like basic undergraduate degree, then master's, in graduate school, and then the postgraduate Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why is Chaitanya Charitamrita described as postgraduate?
It goes into the next seeds of
The inner desires, just try to imagine what subject matter of Chaitanya Charitamrita is. The intimate feelings and desires of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can anything be more confidential than that? But we're presented it, and it's presented for our study. Actually, Prabhupada so much was concerned about all of us that he took time out from translating and commentating on Srimad Bhagavatam, knowing that, as he always said, his time with us was limited. But he took time out from his schedule of progressively presenting Srimad Bhagavatam to translate and comment on Chaitanya Charitamrita, so we would have that postgraduate study as well. He gave us the complete science. Bhagavad Gita undergraduate, Srimad Bhagavatam, postgraduate, graduate in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, postgraduate. This is the systematic presentation, same subject matter. But things go further. Things go further in the Goswami literatures. Goswami literatures present to us Krishna's activities as exchanges with his intimate devotees in a way that elaborates on Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, when we chant the offenses every day, we talk about literature in pursuance of the Vedic version being due all our reverence and respect and honor. Goswami literatures following in the disciplic succession of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu present this subject matter very elaborately. Right now, in the last couple of years or so, Indradyumna Swami has been presenting different pastimes of Krishna that he has researched, he and his team have researched at the Vrindavan Research Institute in Vrindavan. Many, many shastras written by saintly Vaishnavas throughout the centuries. And he's carefully going through these, careful to keep them in line with the Siddhanta of our Sampradaya, so that we may get a further glimpse into the pastimes of Krishna, even that aren't described in Srimad Bhagavatam. But all of this has to be done with under the authority and mercy of the previous acharyas. That's also an integral part of this systematic presentation. So the Goswami literatures, how are they, what's an example of how they are part of the systematic approach? And what's their systematic approach? As I mentioned already, I was hearing Radhika Raman this morning talking about Jiva Goswami's Satsandarbhas and how these literatures are constructed also shows how they're part of the gradual systematic understanding of all these literatures. Prabhupada himself would say that the body of literatures that he was presenting to us is the most comprehensive, the complete and comprehensive presentation of the personality of Godhead. So how is that reflected in Goswami literature? Well, the Goswami literatures Their purpose, their expectation is that their reader will be an experienced reader. They're not writing for the audience that's only on the level of college study like Bhagavad Gita. They're writing assuming that their reader has already passed an understanding of Bhagavad Gita college level. It's already passed. Well, you can't really say you're past Srimad Bhagavatam. But those who have delved deeper into Srimad Bhagavatam than the casual reader, and certainly the same is true for Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But there's an expectation, if you read the composition of the Goswami literature, particularly Jiva Goswami, there's an expectation that the reader will be experienced and know all of these subject matters. What were some of the examples we were talking, Madhamati, about Jiva Goswami? What he'll do in other works, he'll quote the beginning of a verse and then just go on with his analysis, expecting that his readers will know that verse and know the import of that verse and why it's applied here. He doesn't have to go into a whole explanation. He writes in such a way that, well, anybody that's reading him seriously will obviously have come across this concept before, and therefore it doesn't need to be repeated here. It's kind of like the same thing we were mentioning about reading all for the 10 cantos, 9 cantos before reading the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How can you appreciate that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead that's doing all these things like stealing butter and acting like a rascal young boy? How can you understand that this is God doing all these things if you haven't been exposed to the universal form in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that we're reading? It's not possible. So Goswami literatures in particular expect an experienced reader. And that's our job in the whole part of this systematic presentation. And this is the purpose of ISKCON. It's the purpose of what Srila Prabhupada gave to all of us. I'll just read a couple of the other points from the original purposes of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. He says, in addition to systematically propagating spiritual knowledge, he says, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so right in the sutra-like purposes of ISKCON, you find this structural study of the Shastra, and it culminates in a proper understanding of the Supreme Lord. So the final way that I wanted to present here this morning about how this systematic approach operates is how ISKCON promotes lifelong education to achieve the goal of becoming fully Krishna conscious. It's not just going to happen automatically, but there's a systematic way in which education is being offered in ISKCON so that everyone can achieve full love of Krishna. And it's presented in a lifelong education opportunity in the Ministry of Education. We call it cradle to pyre. Study. The baby's in the cradle, and at the end we go to the pyre, the fire. So what is the systematic life of education given to us in ISKCON? Well, it begins with parental responsibility. Seriously understanding the opportunity that has been given to us by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord to have spirit soul that's sufficiently evolved spiritually to get the opportunity to appear at a time very near the presence of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to advance from there. If they're only on college Bhagavad Gita, then the opportunity is to advance to Srimad Bhagavatam. If they're only on the postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam, then the opportunity is to go to the postgraduate study of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rishabhdev says, don't become a father or mother, spiritual master, other positions of authority and leadership, if you cannot deliver your dependents. So we're getting highly qualified candidates, experienced readers coming into our families. And so parents have the initial responsibility to act as the first guru. There's so many letters even by Srila Prabhupada who personally instructing his disciples how to raise their children in Krishna consciousness. So first aspect of a systematic approach to education and study in a life of a devotee today, here and now in ISKCON, parental responsibility. Then there's the Gurukula, where education is centered spiritually. There's many aspects to education, you all know. But we can't forget including spiritual guidance, spiritual knowledge, study of the Shastra in the Gurukula, even at the youngest Gurukula time. Age. Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted Sanskrit taught. We have the famous picture of him holding Dwarkadish's hand, forming his writing the Sanskrit alphabet. So Gurukula. And then for the ashram devotees and the congregation, we have Prabhupada's system of Bhakti Shastra. First, who knows the four levels of instruction? Bhakti Shastra, Does anybody know? Bhakti Shastri Bhakti Bhairav Bhakti Sarvabhauma Bhakti Vedanta. This system of degrees Prabhupada instituted. Actually, 1 year in Mayapur, I think it was, must have been 76 in Mayapur, all the devotees came from around the world. And Prabhupada had everybody there sit down and take a test, Bhakti Shastri test. My only claim to having a Bhakti Shastri degree is that test. But he wanted these things. And so the Ministry of Education is working hard, and gradually they're coming out. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, Bhakti Vedanta. Actually, you can't take sannyas in ISKCON unless you have Bhakti Shastri at least. And they're trying to push it higher. So there's these systems of courses Prabhupada gave. Of course, we know that popular learning is there, and so there are so many seminars offered at different occasions and gatherings of devotees. And so attending these seminars where devotees get together simply to hear and chant and understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness are very important parts of our spiritual lives. And they're available in all kinds of subject matters. Mukti was mentioning this morning about Bhaktivedanta Institute right here in Gainesville. They're regularly offering different courses, seminars on different aspects, dealing with some of the subject matters which Srila Prabhupada wanted but are very challenging, like the structure of the universe, many questions about the scientific approach to life, and either answering that or challenging that. All these seminars are available to keep us in the learning mode. And then there are individual reading groups where devotees themselves come together and read the Shastra. These are important parts of our spiritual life, and they can help us with a lifelong pursuit of education and knowledge that's interdependent, just as we find in the verse today. So those are some thoughts on the systematic approach to understanding the personality of Godhead. Anyone have any additions? Comments, questions? Yes, Sukhita. Sukhita, give her the mic. Can you have it? Lucky to be devotees of Krishna, so he takes personal care like that. Otherwise, you don't know, and therefore you think this is the way it is. You go to this demigod, they're forced to give you what you want, and you continue your material existence. So, we're fortunate to get the personal interaction with the Lord in our life. Yes? There's some letter like where he puts in the degrees with the ability to accept disciples. These exams are, they do demand a lot of study as well. You can go to Vrindavan and enroll and go there in July and study very intently all the way through Mayapur. Just pass one of these classes.
I just think it's amazing that in 75, Prabhupada had a sprint that Adi needed a seventh chapter and it was Lord Chaitanya and five teachers for mass distribution. So that's amazing because that's the postgraduate study. And Prabhupada said, here, give me millions of these to the people here. And we started distributing those. I mean, it's but that's Prabhupada's mercy and kindness. Here, you like you stopped to make the Christian book just in case you didn't get that candle. He didn't want everybody to hear his passing. And he did the same thing in the seventh chapter about the new. And we have cases of those revealed. We're looking at them. I hadn't even read it. I didn't really know anything about it. We were giving them to everybody.
Prabhupada had a strategic plan. He worked on levels that were beyond those around him. Yes.
One time in New York.
And you're still doing it because you're sitting here today. Thank you. Yes. And no end to Prabhupada's genius. Okay, anything else? We'll end there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, please.